भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 10 प्रहलाद द बेस्ट अमंग एक्सल्टेड डिवोटीज टेक्स्ट 43 एंड 44 दिस इज 43 Prahradasya Prahradasya Nucharitam Mahabhagavatasya cha Bhaktir Jnanam Viraktischa Yatartyam Chasya Vaihare Prahradasya Nucharitam Mahabhagavatasya cha Bhaktir Jnanam Viraktischa Yatartyam Chasya Vaihare Verse 44 Sargastityapyayeshasya Gunakarmanu Varnanam Kalina Vyatya Yo Mahan This narration describes the characteristics of the great and exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj, his staunch devotional service, his perfect knowledge, and his perfect detachment from material contamination. It also describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, has described the transcendental qualities of the Lord and has also described how the various abodes of the demigods and demons, regardless of how materially opulent, are destroyed by the mere direction of Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with descriptions of the characteristics of various devotees with reference to the service of the Lord. This Vedic literature is called Bhagavatam because it deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, one can perfectly understand the science of Krishna, the nature of the material and spiritual worlds, and the aim of life. Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Vedic literature, as we have discussed in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, simply by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, one can understand the science of the activities of the devotees, the activities of the demons, the permanent abode, and the temporary abode. Through Srimad Bhagavatam, everything Translation again. Prahlad Maharaj has set a very high standard for devotional service. Difficult for us to imagine the strength of his conviction. His father, Hiranyakashipu, was extremely powerful. We don't see anyone like that today. There are some, we can say, big asuras on the planet. Quite big, but nothing like Hiranyakashipu. His power was not just physical, like now they have bombs, nuclear weapons, and biological weapons, chemical weapons. And they're developing other kinds of weapons also, psychological weapons, to keep people under their thumb. But Hiranyakashipu had great mystic powers. He could threaten Indra. Indra is not much disturbed by the puny demons, asuras, who presently live on the planet. He stays away, and no doubt he's anxious for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to get underway. I mean, it's getting underway, but there's a lot more that is to come. But Hiranyakashipu was very scary. It is said that just if he moved his eyebrow in an unfavorable way, it would create fear in the minds of the devas, like Indra and his friends. And Prahlad, just a young boy, was fearless. Hiranyakashipu could not intimidate him. His father asked him, "What are you learning in school?" And Prahlad said, "What did you learn from your teachers?" And of course, Prahlad Maharaj was thinking of his real teacher, Narada Muni. And he said, "Well, I learned that one should hear and chant and remember and pray to and worship and etc. the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu." And of course, Lord Vishnu was Hiranyakashipu's enemy because he had killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. You know that story. Hiranyaksha was terrorizing the devas also and doing whatever he liked, causing disruption to the universal order of things. And so Varahadev appeared to dispatch him. So Hiranyakashipu knows very well about Vishnu. And he knows Vishnu is very powerful. And he knows that Vishnu lives subtly within the hearts of the living entities. But Hiranyakashipu's idea is that Vishnu got this power by mystic yoga performances. He thinks Vishnu is like him, a big, powerful person. And he thinks that because of his mystic yoga activities, he can challenge Vishnu. Vishnu may be very powerful, Hiranyakashipu thinks, but I am more powerful, and just let him, I know he's invisible and he keeps himself invisible for whatever reason, but now he must be afraid of me, and I'm just waiting for him to appear so I can kill him. This is Hiranyakashipu's way of thinking. He doesn't understand Bhagawan. He doesn't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the nature of the asuras. The asuras think that the world, as Krishna describes in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, these people think that the world is based on kama, desire, specifically sex desire. And the world just keeps going on because of this kama. Everyone has sex desire, and they keep producing more children and more children and more children in all species of life. This kama is driving the whole material creation, the asuras think. And Vishnu is no different from Hiranyakashipu's perspective. He's also one of the living entities, etc. So Hiranyakashipu wants to rule the universe. Brahma is already seems to be like, because Brahma is a little intimidated also by Hiranyakashipu. after this whole incident is finished, Nrsingadev tells Lord Brahma, don't do this again. That's enough. You don't have to reward such benedictions to these asuras. It's too dangerous. Because Hiranyakashipu, after all, he was torturing the brahmanas and the cows, and that's what the asuras do. They don't care. The mentality of these asuras, today also, they don't care about anyone, except themselves and their families and their friends. They can drop bombs on innocent civilians and kill millions of them. They don't care. It doesn't matter. They're like ants. Ordinary, of course, the devotees don't even kill an ant or a mosquito, but ordinary people think nothing of killing a whole, colony of ants, just like that. Get rid of them. So these asuras think the same way about human beings. They don't think anything. There's no problem. Get rid of this whole race of human beings, this whole group over here. They're useless. They're just causing trouble. Just like now, the Western powers are disturbed by Islam. So the Western powers, maybe some of them are trying to cooperate, but for the most part, it looks like the Western powers are trying to crush Islam, because Islam is not very cooperative. These big bankers and industrialists and, internationalists, they want to make a one-world money system, a one-world, economic, commercial system. But the Islamic people are not cooperating very much. They want to make their own separate, states based on their teachings and their Quran. So they don't go along with the Western system of economics and so on. But this is a problem for the big asuras in the West. They don't like having this uncooperative group. So now there's things going on. We don't know how it will end up. But from our perspective, everything is going on now in the world under the auspices and direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan program, because that's what he wants. And of course, he is none different from Nrsingadev, Lord Sri Krishna, who vanquishes these asuras in one way or another, either directly or indirectly. So the devotees are, because they're developing confidence in this protection of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nrsingadev, they become fearless. And there are many examples. I'm sure you also have examples in your experiences of your own fearlessness or other devotees' fearlessness in approaching people to try to give them Krishna consciousness or to entering in a dangerous situation in order to perform some devotional service. So Prahlad Maharaj, he had no control over the situation. It was by divine arrangement that he became the son of Hiranyakashipu. This was, of course, Krishna's plan to overthrow Hiranyakashipu, but also to show the exalted position of his devotee. Because everybody else was intimidated, from Brahma to Indra, everybody was intimidated by Hiranyakashipu. But here's this little child preaching to his classmates about chanting and remembering Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu, what did you learn? What did your teachers teach? Is Narada Muni. He taught me that I should always be chanting Lord Vishnu. And he also, Prahlad is amazing, no? Hiranyakashipu, this big, powerful demon, and he says, what have you learned? And Prahlad said, dear father, you know, people who are so attached to family life and material things, you know, at a certain age, they should go to the forest and renounce everything. And Hiranyakashipu is so, becomes so angry. What is this? What are you teaching this boy? He's contaminated by my enemy, Vishnu. And he tries to kill Prahlad in so many ways. But Prahlad is, he's just totally fearless. He doesn't care. You can kill me or not kill me. It doesn't matter to me. But, of course, it's Lord Vishnu's plan to protect Prahlad and show everyone the dear relationship that exists between the Lord and his devotee. Because Lord Nrsingadev, he protects Prahlad because he loves Prahlad. And he wants to show everyone that love. This, whenever Krishna appears, this is his principal reason. He does other things. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sangsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes again and again to establish principles of religion and to annihilate the asuras. But especially he comes to protect his devotees, to show his love for his devotees. Because he wants to encourage us, he wants to inspire us to learn how to love him. Because there's nothing more important for us than learning how to love Krishna. This is the ultimate goal, beyond dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Most of the Vedas deal with dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You perform your dharma, dedicate yourself to your dharma, whatever your dharma is, and the result will be that you will have artha. Your life will be comfortable. You'll have the things that you need. And then kama, not only that, but you can have more than what you need. You can actually enjoy life, have a nice family, nice food to eat, samosas, pakoras, gulab jamuns, everything. But beyond that, moksha. Because once you realize that this kama, because we're not the body, we're living in the body, we're temporarily renting the body through this process of dharma, but ultimately the body's going to fall down and we have to go someplace else. So rather than keep going one body after another, moksha, go for liberation, no more bodies. But this moksha is not complete. The understanding most people have of moksha is very, very elementary. They don't really understand what this moksha is. What is the soul? Just some little spark of spiritual light that when material life is finished, what? What? That's not the purpose of the soul. Just to get release from material life. That's, from a negative perspective, that's nice. No more material anxiety and grief. Because even if you are very good and you perform your dharma and you have your artha and you have your kama, still there's a lot of trouble. Old age is coming, death is coming, and if you're not liberated, then another birth, and you don't know, because there are many anomalies in our behavior. We're not always perfect. We don't always treat other living entities properly. Sometimes we get angry or envious, and we do something or say something harmful to another living being. So that means reaction has to come in the next life. So it's not a smooth ride, the material life. Even if you are very dharmic and perform all your duties properly, there are always going to be some difficulties. So moksha is important. But the real goal, Premapumartha Mahan, the fifth goal of life, is to develop love for Krishna. That's the real moksha. Because that means that you get to return to Krishna's abode and stay with him. There are many forms that Krishna expands into for relationships with his devotees. And his devotees live with him in all of those different forms in the spiritual world. Lord Ramchandra, Narayana, Nrsingadeva, Varaha. He has so many forms that he likes to engage in pastimes with his devotees. Loving pastimes. In Vaikuntha, the love is mixed with awe and reverence, so it's on a certain level. And we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, worshipping Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Our idea, or the idea given to us by our acharyas, is to learn how to love Krishna, following in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, without the awe and reverence, so that we can exchange with Krishna, just like as Sanatana Goswami explains in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is as if Krishna were just an ordinary person. And so he enjoys most this kind of loving exchange that is revealed to us by his Vrindavan Leela, his relationships with devotees in Vrindavan, where his friends can ride on his shoulders and he carries them after their team defeats his team in some competition. And his mother can tie him with a rope to a grinding mortar after he misbehaves by breaking her butter pot. And the gopis can admonish Krishna because he deals with them in a way which sometimes is a little painful. But it's not really pain. It looks painful to us because if we compare it with mundane dealings between boys and girls. But the dealings between Krishna and the gopis are just pure ecstatic nectar, whatever they look like to us from our contaminated perspective. This is what Krishna wants. For him, all these relationships are wonderful. If you want to be follow in the footsteps of Hanuman, become a devotee of Lord Ram, beautiful. Krishna likes to exchange all these different kinds of relationships with his devotees. Therefore, we don't discriminate. We don't say, oh, Krishna bhaktas are better than Ram bhaktas or Narayana bhaktas. Bhakti is absolute. Prabhupada used to say that it's the same. Whether you're washing the body of the deity or you're washing the temple room floor, equal. Devotional service is absolute. Whatever service that Krishna gives you to do, and of course, your desire also is there as a reciprocation to Krishna's desire, and it becomes perfect. And as the relationship between the devotee and Krishna unfolds and matures, all the material desires, material contaminations become washed away. Because we realize that all these things just keep us hanging on to something that isn't worth hanging on to. And we learn then to hang on to Krishna's lotus feet. Ai Tanuja. How does it go? Ai Nanda Tanuja. Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Babam Buddha. Kripaya tava pada pankaja stataduli sadrisham vichintaya. I just want to become a particle of dust at your lotus feet. The devotee tries to sincerely pray for this benediction from Krishna, to develop love for Krishna. And Prahlad is such a wonderful example of what happens to someone who learns to love Krishna. He's always protected by Krishna, always protected. There's no more fear, no anxiety in that condition of life. So this is what, by Krishna's mercy, is in front of all of us. This opportunity to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj and all the other wonderful devotees that are described in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the other, we have so much literature, unbelievable. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and then the Goswamis have left us so many books describing Krishna's wonderful leelas. And we have to work through our individual attachments, desires, and so on. It takes some time. But the course is clear before us. And if we're willing to make the steps necessary, you know, Krishna can do anything. No matter how fallen one may be, one is not so fallen that Krishna can't save that person from material existence. Krishna's holy name is so powerful. So thank you. Any questions? All right then. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.